Tosfos was originally written in Arabic by the Rambam. The Gemara, it's all based on the Gemara in the end of Maseches Machis. Some of you may remember the Gemara. The Gemara quotes an Amora, Rebbe Simloi, who makes a statement. So far, so good.
Okay. Great.
You have some Coca-Cola, it would help a little.
Sure.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. Good. So the Gemara says that the Amar Reb Simloi, we have 613 mitzvahs. If you add everything all up together, where did he come upon the number 613? Such an odd number. So he says, the pasuk says, Torah Tzivolon Moshe, Torah B'Gematria 611, Tavav Reish Hey 611, and two mitzvahs were not told to us by Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather by HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Because on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, the Gemara has a tradition, it's based on the Pesukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yilecha directly, and all the others, because Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am your God. God is Lo Yilecha Elokecha Malpanai. God is speaking to us. The third one, Lo Sisa Hashem Elokecha Lashav, doesn't say Lo Sisa Shmi Lashav, it says Lo Sisa Hashem Elokecha Lashav. It's obvious Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that over. So the first two of the Aseres HaDibros were told to us directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the other eight, together told the other mitzvahs and the Torah were told to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's how the Gemara establishes that there were 613 mitzvahs. Torah Tzivolon Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu told us 611. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us the remaining two. From the 613 mitzvahs, so the Gemara says in various places, that there's a breakdown, 365 of them are mitzvahs lois esei, and 248 are mitzvahs asei. Look at that. You just push a button. Thank you very much. The Rambam was not the first. He was not the last to write a Sefer Mitzvahs. Before the Rambam, there was a Sefer written in the days of the Gaonim, Sefer Halachas Gedolos. Not sure exactly who wrote it. Some attribute the Sefer to Rabbi Yehudoi Goyim. Others attribute it to a totally different person in the same generation. Rab Shimon Kayora, who lived in Cairo. Kayora. Whoever it is. But he wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, listing off on his opinion, constitute the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam is always disagreeing. The Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Sefer HaMitzvah was written in Arabic. And the Sefer HaMitzvahs is the introduction to the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam. The Mishnah Torah of the Rambam was written in Hebrew. The Rambam wrote in Arabic, and he wrote in Hebrew, and he wrote in Aramaic. There's a Pirush HaRambam on Masechah Shabbos that's written in Aramaic. It was discovered in manuscript about 70, 80 years ago, or so, and it was printed in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So even though the Mishnah Torah is written in Mishnei Hebrew, and the Sefer HaMitzvahs is the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. The Sefer HaMitzvahs was written in Arabic, and we use a translation. Translation here and there is faulty. So in recent years, we have better translations. You have Rabbi Kapach, who just passed away a few years ago, was an expert on the Rambam, and he put out his own translation of Sefer HaMitzvahs. Rab Chaim Heller lived in Germany before the Second World War. He had a kollel in Berlin, and he put out his own edition of the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam. It's basically the same as the old translation. He only corrected it. He knew Arabic. So whenever there was a gross error, so he would correct it. But everything else he left the same. Rabbi Kapach did a whole new translation, the whole thing Mechadosh, because it's not a good style of Hebrew. It's choppy. The Hebrew style, the Hebrew translation, is a choppy star. Why is it Sefer HaMitzvahs the introduction to the Mishnah Torah? Because the Mishnah Torah is Limud Kol HaTorah Kulo, the Rambam says in the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. We call it the Yad HaChazaka. We don't call it Mishnah Torah. The Rambam calls it Mishnah Torah. He says all you have to do is study through the Tanakh and read my book Mishnah Torah, and you know all there is to know. So that's quite a statement. So Klal Yisrael didn't like that. The Rambam didn't mean that we should stop learning Gemara. If you don't really study the Gemara, you won't understand the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam. But the Rambam felt that he included everything from the Gemara in his Mishnah Torah. So the Rambam explains, what does it mean to learn Torah? People think to learn Torah means to be able to ask a murderer's kasha. Or to give a gewaldig teretz on Rebbe Kivega's kasha, who was printed on the side of the Gemara. That's the icing on top of the cake. That's at the dessert at the end of the meal. What's the main meat and potatoes of learning Torah? What's the main aspect of Liman HaTorah? To know all of the 613 mitzvahs and all the details. That's what the mitzvah of Liman HaTorah is. Well, Amadatem Osam, Ushmartem La'as Osam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us all the 613 mitzvahs. He says, well, Amadatem Osam, you should learn all the mitzvahs. So the Rambam gives you a listing, say from mitzvahs, he gives you a brief paragraph. Once in a while, it's a little longer than a brief paragraph. He gives you a paragraph about every mitzvah, and then he writes the whole Mishnah Torah. He writes one section, that's the Hilchos Shabbos. So he's going to say, how many mitzvahs is he going to cover in that section? Here. Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah, the Rambam starts. There are 10 mitzvahs that are going to be included in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah. Then he has Hilchos Deus. Every section in the Rambam begins with a listing here. He says, this section is going to have 11 mitzvahs, and he lists off in the beginning which 11 mitzvahs, then he spells out. He writes all the chapters. Hilchos Avodah Zarah in the Rambam. He says this section has 51 mitzvahs. And then he lists them all off briefly, just a half a line each one. And then he gives you all the details of all of those mitzvahs. Then at the end, when you finish the whole Mishnah Torah, so he says, now you know Kol HaTorah Kulo. Because to learn Kol HaTorah Kulo means to know which are the 613 mitzvahs and what are all the details of the mitzvahs. So originally, it made sense that the Sefer HaMitzvahs was always printed together with the Mishnah Torah. Because it's the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah is in order to explain which are the 613 mitzvahs, which are all the details. Then, when they started printing Sefer HaMitzvahs, with all of these commentaries, the Ramban has Asogas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And then to defend the Rambam, so the printers found a few manuscripts, so they got the Megillas Esther, which was written by a man. His mother passed away before he went to print, so he wanted to memorialize his mother, so he calls it Megillas Esther. That's what he writes in the introduction. Who wrote the Megillas Esther? Rabbi Yitzchak Dilyar. Okay, to tell you on the first page. So they print the Megillas Esther, Maganisa Tov, Alev Samech, Kina Sofrim. They have all these commentaries, so it's such a big thing. So the printers wanted to make money, so they sold this separately. They sold the Sefer HaMitzvah separately, and they sold the Mishnah Torah separately, so they could charge you for two. Mishnah Torah is one set, you pay for that, then you got to pay separately for this. So because it was sold separately for many years, the people stopped reading, everybody bought the Rambam, Mishnah Torah, they didn't bother buying the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So the Chasam Sofer, who lived in the early 1800s, the Chasam Sofer was the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Chasam Sofer had three wives, one after the other. His first wife died, second wife died. His second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. His father-in-law was 1 year older than him. And father-in-law died 1 year before he did. They lived to the same, not a ripe old age. They died pretty young, in their 60s. And the father-in-law was only 1 year older than him. It was Chasam Sofer's second marriage, his second wife. So the Chasam Sofer complains about this, that it's the fault of the printers, that they printed it separately, that the Talmid Chachamim don't bother to study Sefer HaMitzvahs, they just study the Mishnah Torah LaHarambam. And he says it's not right because there are certain ideas in the Rambam that only appear in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And if you don't know the Sefer HaMitzvahs, a lot of times you won't understand what the Rambam is writing in the Mishnah Torah. He assumes that you read everything in order. How did the Rambam... The Rambam is very unusual from all of the Rishonim at that time. They all had big yeshivas. Ramban and the Rashba and everybody had a big yeshiva. The Rambam sat and he learned all by himself. He did the Rif. The Rif had a big yeshiva. The Rif, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alfazi, is the Rif. He lived in Fez, Alfazi. That's in northern Africa. Fez is the capital of Morocco, I think. So the Rif lived in Fez until the age of 75. And then there were pogroms, and he had to run away. So he ran away to Spain. They would run back and forth. When there would be pogroms in Spain, they would run. They just crossed over the Straits of Gibraltar. You can see from one side to the other. In Gibraltar, you can see Algeria. It's right across. I don't know if he can swim it, but you can go by boat. It just takes a couple of hours. So whenever there would be pogroms in Spain, so the Jews would cross over, go to Algeria or Morocco. Whenever there were pogroms in Morocco, they would go to Spain. So the Rif, at the age of 75, started a new career. He founded a yeshiva in Spain. And he went going on for another 15 years or so. until the age of 90 or so. So the Riv had a big yeshiva, the Ramban had a big yeshiva, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rashba, they all had big yeshivas. The Ramban sat and he learned all by himself. He was a super genius that he could figure out everything. We don't always pass him like the Ramban, but the man was absolutely a super genius. All the svarim that he put out. How did the Ramam support himself? So historically, the Ramam had a brother by the name of David who supported him. His brother was a businessman, successful businessman, and he supported him. He sat and he learned. The brother died in a shipwreck, and the Rambam was mourning over the death for 2 years. He was in deep depression over the death of his brother because the brother supported him all the time. Then the Rambam had to go to make a living. So that's when he decided to go to medical school. And he became a doctor, and then he became the doctor to the caliph of Egypt. The Rambam is very big. Then he couldn't learn that much, but all the learning he did, as long as his brother was alive. So some say the brother's name was David. David, I don't know, this to me sounds humorous. For the Rambam, the name David, the gematria is 14. Dalet Vav is 10, and David, another Dalet, is 14. So they say that's why the Rambam has 14 books in the Yad HaChazaka. And the Mishnah Torah. The Rama called it Mishnah Torah because he says when you study Tanakh and you study my book Mishnah Torah, you know all there is to know. So that's quite a statement. So the Klal Yisrael didn't like that statement of the Rama. So we call it by a different name. We call it Hayad HaChazaka because it has Yud Dalet Svarim, has 14 Svarim. So some historians say, why did he decide to make 14 Svarim? He could have made 20, he could have made 15. Why did he decide 14? So they said because he wanted to memorialize his brother, whose name is David. The Rambam never writes like that. And here in the Sefer HaMitzvos also, it's divided into two parts. So the first part of the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam has 14 shoroshim, 14 klolim, to determine which mitzvahs should be included and which mitzvahs should not be included, and when should a mitzvah be counted many times and when is it only counted once. Let's say Shabbos. So you count Shabbos as one Isser, not to do Malach. You could have counted it as 39 Isser, not to do all the 39 Malachas. Or let's say Pesach, he counts as one mitzvah to observe Pesach. Sukkot, he counts as two mitzvahs. To observe Sukkot, then to observe Shmini Atzeres. So the Rambam says, why do I count it as two? Because Shmini Atzeres is a regular B'fnei Atzmai. It's a separate Yontif. We say Shech Yonim. On the last day Pesach, you don't say Shech Yonim, because it's one long Yontif that lasts for 7 days. And on Sukkot, it's a Yontif for 7 days, that's over on Hashanah Rabbah, and then Shmini Atzeres is a regular B'fnei Atzma. So the Rambam writes all this in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that's called the Sharoshim, the Klolim, the Sharoshim. So some say that's why he made 14 Sharoshim. I don't know, to me it sounds a little humorous. I don't think the Rambam was one who was interested in Gematrios. Gematrios are not to be taken seriously. And the Rambam has 13 principles of faith, why did he make 14? There are more than 13 principles. 13 Ikari Hamuna are from the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis in Sanhedrin. Why did he make 14? I think the whole thing is a joke. Anyway, so for the last couple of years, I have been giving a shiur here in the NCSY program on the Mitzvah Sesi of the Rambam and the Mitzvah Slosi of the Rambam. Maybe tonight we'll start from the Ramban. The Ramban disagreed. The Rambam gives a list of what he considers are the 248 Mitzvah Sesi. And the Ramban deletes here and there about 16, 17, 18. He says, this shouldn't be counted, that shouldn't be counted, the other one should be counted. So he has to replace it with other mitzvahs. So the Ramban starts giving his own list of mitzvahs, I say that the Ramban forgot to count. And he himself is not sure. He says, maybe this should count, maybe you shouldn't count, he's not sure. So maybe we'll start with that. He calls it the mitzvah sheshachach osam harav. Mitzvahs, I say, the Ramban wrote in Hebrew. He didn't write in Arabic. Ramban didn't know Arabic. Ramban didn't know Arabic. He lived in Spain. He knew Spanish, but he didn't know Arabic. The Ramban used the translation of the Sefer Mitzvahs. He didn't use the original. And you can tell there was more than one translation. So you can tell once in a while, Ramban quotes something that only appears in one of their translations, not in the other. So the historians figured out which translation he used. Okay, it's not that significant. But the Ramban's comments on the Sefer Mitzvahs were written in Hebrew. We have them in the original. So the Ramban, again, has to replace approximately 16, 17, 18, 19 mitzvahs that he deleted from the Rambam's Minyan HaMitzvahs, and he has to replace them with other mitzvahs. He's going to start the list off. The very famous one is Mitzvah Dalet, that everybody knows. We'll get to that. I'll try to get to that tonight. Okay, so the Ramban says, he's listing off mitzvahs, I say, that the Rambam forgot to mention. So he says one of them is Shenitz Tavena, the first one. Shenitz Tavena lechol ma'aser sheni ubechoros bivushalayim lefnei hakel yisal. It's a mitzvah to eat ma'aser sheni and kochim kalim in Yerushalayim. There are two different categories of karponis, the kochim kalim and kochim kochim. Kochim kochim have to be eaten by zichri kohuna in the azara. Kochim kalim can be eaten by non-kohanim, has to be eaten by Jewish people who are tohar, men or women who are tohar, and it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So the Ramban thinks, he quotes a Gemara in Psochim and Daf Nutes, where the Gemara says that it's a mitzvah to eat kochim kalim in Yerushalayim. So the Ramban says, v'chalto sham lefnei Hashem alakecha. That's in Parshas Re'eh. It says when you build the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to bring karbonis anywhere else. That's Nisar Shchut Echutz. And the karbonis that you have to bring to Yerushalayim should be eaten in Yerushalayim. Echalta Hashem lefnei Hashem alakecha maisa digoncha b'sirochcha v'yitzarecha v'choriz b'korcha b'tzaynecha v'chol nederecha shatidar v'nid v'secha trumus yadecha. That's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. So Ramban says that obviously is a mitzvah to eat the maisa sheni and to eat the kochim kalim in Yerushalayim. The Gemara said the Pharisee said it's a mitzvah. It's takapella. How come the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah? So the Megillah says, though, usually comes to defend the Rambam. Once in a long while, he say, I don't know myself. I think the Ramban is right. I don't know the answer. But he always defends the Rambam. How can it be? The Rambam is always right. See, if, when you look later in the Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah, so they always discuss. There are those who disagree with what the Rambam said. They say that he's not quoting the Gemara properly. So the commentaries discuss whether the Rambam is right, the Rambam is not right. One of them always says the Rambam is always right. How can the Rambam always be right? He's a human being. Human beings always make mistakes. The one on the bottom of the page, the Migdalois, he says the Rambam is always right. It's never wrong. So that's he's not right. How can the Rambam always be right? You ever hear the Maharshal? The Maharshal lived in the 1500s in Poland. He was a cousin of the Rambam, the one who wrote on the Shulchan Aruch. They lived in two different cities, though. So the Maharshal wrote in his Chuvis that the commentary on the bottom of the page of the Rambam, Nimik Daloi, is the one who always says the Rambam is right, the Rambam is right, violated Baltashtis on the paper. He says he wasted the paper. What did he write in Arishka? The Rambam is always right. So we don't need you. Just write one line. The Rambam is always right. And finish. Every time he writes, the Rambam is right. The Rambam is never wrong. That's not. So that's the Megillas Esther also. In this kind of, he always defends the Rambam. Once in a while, he'll admit he doesn't know how to defend the Rambam. So here, he comes in defense of the Rambam. He said, how come the Rambam didn't include this mitzvah? He says, the Rambam writes, in the 14th Shoroshim, in the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, Rama gives you the 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the Sefer Mitzvah Sanat. So the Rambam says you don't include all of the Prote HaMitzvah in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So you just write the mitzvah. There are a lot of details, so you don't have to include each and every single detail. Let's say not to do Meloch on Shabbos. You're going to have 39 different mitzvahs. Not to do Chorish, not to do Zareah, not to do Kotzen, not to do Dosh, not to be Ma'amer. So the Rambam includes all 39 malachas as one mitzvah. Or let's say to bring musafim on sukkahs. So he didn't list off, he should bring 14 kvasim and 2 elim and 1 par and 1 soil lachatos and so many, 14 shlomims. He doesn't count it. To bring all the musafim every day of sukkahs, you don't have to be so detailed, but you're going to include all the details. There are millions and millions and millions of mitzvahs. Every sneeze of the day, every minute of the day, every half minute of the day, there's another mitzvah. You only count the general mitzvahs. So that's what the Megillah Esther says. The Rambam already counted in the listing of the mitzvahs that you should be mafresh ma'aser sheni. That's self-understood. You should be mafresh ma'aser sheni and then bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it in a state of tahara. These are all details of the mitzvah. And then the Rambam already included the mitzvah of bringing a b'chor behemot Torah to the Beis HaMikdosh, the mitzvah of korban b'chor behemot Torah. So it's self-understood that eating it in Yerushalayim in a state of tahara is a detail of the mitzvah, and the Rambam doesn't include details of the mitzvahs. The Ramban knows that you're not supposed to include details. He himself subscribes to that law, but he thinks that this should be counted as a separate mitzvah. Okay. Every so often you have that machlokes. The Rambam and the Ramban both agree as far as the dinim are concerned. They're only arguing whether this is a prat mi prote ha-mitzvah. Is it merely a detail, or is it considered a mitzvah bifnei asma? Okay. Then mitzvah base, also The Ramban says that a Kohen is supposed to eat Truma, and a Kohen is not permitted to eat Truma in a state of Tumah. There are two types of state of Tumah, whether the Kohen is Tameh or the Truma is Tameh. So if the Kohen is Tameh, he eats Truma Tehoira, the punishment is Misa B'dei Shamayim, which is pretty serious. Misa B'dei Shamayim is not the same as Koris. The Gemara says that Koris is worse. What the difference is, let's hope I'll never know. Okay. The Gemara gives some kind of a difference. The Misa B'dei Shamayim is supposed to die at the age of 60, and Koris he died at the age of 50. The Koris is worse. Okay. The Ramaroim, who wouldn't have a birthday party every year, but when they reach the age of 50, so they didn't die from Koris, so they would throw a party. At least they know that they're not Chayav Koris. Then they would reach the age of 60, they throw another party. They didn't suffer from Misa B'dei Shamayim. Misa B'dei Shamayim means you died at the age of 60. Then when they reach the age of 70, they would throw another party. Because the Pasuk says, Yimeshana Seinu Behem Shivim Shana. A normal life of a human being is 70 years. The Gemara has dinim based on the Pasuk. That's a Pasuk in Tehillim. It's in the Siddur. Yimeshana Seinu Behem Shivim Shana is in the Pesuk of the Zimra on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that that's normal. And if a person reaches the age of 35 plus, then he's considered over the hill. He's already Higia L'Rav Shnosav. He's already outlived more than half of his life, and therefore, even if he didn't yet become bar mitzvah earlier, if he didn't have shtei saris earlier, so then he becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 35. So the age of 70 is al pidin a milestone. The Chavis Yoyer is a tshuva sefer. He says when you reach the age of 70, you should say shehechion, because you outlived a full normal life, as the pasuk says, mentioned the saying of Ahem Shem Shon, and Gemara takes it seriously. And what takes that pasuk seriously? So the pasuk says you're not allowed to eat truma in a state of tuma, but there are two types of tuma. One state of tuma is if the kohen is tameh, he's not allowed to eat truma. The other one is the kohen is tahor, but he's eating truma tameh. The truma is tameh. So the Gemara says misa b'dei shamayim is if the kohen is tameh and he eats truma tahora, then the kohen is punished with misa b'dei shamayim, which is less than koris. If a person is Tameh and he eats Korbanos, then the punishment is Koris. If he eats Korbanos in a state of Tumah. But if a Kohen eats Truma in a state of Tumah, if the Kohen is Tameh, then the punishment is Misa B'dei Shamayim. If the Kohen is Tahor and he eats Truma Tameh, so then the Gemara says there's no Misa B'dei Shamayim, there's no Koris, no Misa B'dei Shamayim. The Gemara says there isn't even Malkus, because the Avera is only an Aseh. Lav habo mechlal Aseh. Because the pasuk says that truma should be eaten in a state of tahara. Never says you're not allowed to eat truma when the truma is tameh. It just says you should eat truma when it's tahara. So it's by inference. It's a lav haba michlal aseh. We infer from the way the pasuk is written that you have to eat truma in a state of tahara. So the Ramban tainas, the Ramam should have included that as a mitzvah saseh. So the Megillah says that comes to defend the Ramam. He says the Ramam already quoted that there's an avera to eat truma in a state of tuma. And he holds the Ramam understood the two types of truma in a state of tuma. One is when the kohen is tameh, and one is when the truma is tameh. So when the kohen is tameh, that's the full violation of eating truma in the state of tuma, namely that there's misa b'dei shamayim. If the kohen is tahor and the truma is tameh, so then it's only an isur aseh. There won't be any punishment on misa b'dei shamayim. It'll just be an isur aseh. So he says the Ramam didn't count this as a mitzvah b'fnei asma. The Ramam holds that this is a chelik of the other mitzvahs. Fine. How come nobody? We never heard of anybody eating truma today. How come nobody ever eats any truma? The Ramam says when the kohen eats truma, let's say he has a cup of wine of truma. So he says bar piagofen, and then he says a bichas a mitzvah shekadoshan b'kedusha so shalaharon mitzivano alachi las truma. Let's say he eats bread or cake or cookies of truma. He eats vegetables. So if he eats vegetables, he says bar pri hadama, the bichas anenin. Then he says the bichas amitzvah shekirishan b'kedushas u'shalaron v'tzivonu alachidas truma. We don't have anybody eating any truma. So the only time a kohen ever says that unique bracha shekirishan b'kedushas u'shalaron is when he's going to duchen. That's the only kohuna dikin mitzvah. All the other mitzvahs, all the Jews are obligated. So he says shekirishan b'mitzvah isav v'tzivonu. The kohanim have a special kedushas kohuna. And that's what's mechayiv them to perform certain mitzvahs. Let's say if we would have a Beis Hamikdash today, the Kohen would do Kabbalah Saddam, Halacha Saddam, Zvika Saddam, Haktorah Seimurim, any of the Avodas that have to be done by Kohanim, so the Kohen would recite a bracha in advance. Hashem Kedushan V'Kedushan Sushal Aaron, Mitzivano, Al Kabbalah Saddam, Mitzivano, Al Zvika Saddam, whatever. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash, we don't eat, nobody, none of the Kohanim are eating Truma today. The only mitzvah that the Kohanim have left to do, Pidyon Ben, the father says the bracha. If the Kohen would say the bracha, the Kohen would say Asher Kedushan V'Kedushan Sushal Aaron, Mitzivano, Al Pidyon Ben. But the Kohen doesn't say the bracha. The Gemara says, the father says the bracha. So he says, Kedushan V'Mitzvah Yisav Mitzivano. The father is not a Kohen. He says, Kedushan V'Mitzvah Yisav. Yeah, how come we don't have anybody eating any Truma today? Because everybody's Tomei. Everybody's Tomei Meis. Even Kohanim, who are not allowed to go to a funeral, but if one of the seven relatives dies, then they're obligated to go to the funeral. So all the Kohanim are Tomei. Everybody's Tomei. If one person went to a funeral and he shakes hands with the Kohen, so the Kohen becomes Tomei. The Meis itself, the dead body, is considered what we call Avi Avos HaTumah. And the one who attends the funeral, the one who's in the same room with the Meis, becomes an Av HaTumah. When he shakes hands with the Kohen who didn't attend the funeral, the Kohen becomes a Rishon LeTumah. So Rishon LeTumah, the Kohen is to all the Kohanim HaTumah. Everybody's Tomei. But no one's allowed to eat Truma in a state of Tumah. He can't eat Maaseh Sheni either. We said the first mitzvah that the Ramban adds on is he should eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. How come nobody eats Maaseh Sheni? All over Eretz Yisrael, whatever grows, whatever fruits or vegetables grow in Eretz Yisrael is Tevel. You're not allowed to eat it until you first mafrish all the Trumas and Maaseh. So then when you mafrish Maaseh Sheni, we're paid the Maaseh Sheni onto money. You have to have cash. You can't be paid on Shavah Kesef. You have to be paid on Davkan Kesef. And then you're supposed to save that money to go to Yerushalayim to buy Nasat HaKesef, Babakar, Batsona, Bayayin, and Bashechar. You're supposed to buy food with that. You need the food, B'Kedusha V'Tar. We don't do that. We don't do that because we're all Tomei. If you're Tomei, you're not allowed to eat Truma. And if you're Tomei, you're not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. So that's why we don't observe that mitzvah. There's another reason why nobody eats Maaseh Sheni Bizman Hazeh, because there's no Mizbeach. The Gemara says, just like you cannot eat karbonis, if there's no mizbeach banui, cannot be makar karbonis without a mizbeach, that's a davar pashut. You have to do the zrikas adam on the mizbeach, you have to do the hakrava on the mizbeach, that's a davar pashut. But even to eat the karbonis in Yerushalayim also, the Gemara derives from a pasuk, you need mizbeach banui to be able to eat the karbonis. Then the Gemara learns that from the same pasuk, that bizman that there's no mizbeach banui, you can't eat maaseh sheni either. Today. So nobody can eat. We can't fulfill this mitzvah. The Ramban said mitzvah number one that the Rambam left out is the mitzvah to eat Maaseh Sheni and Yerushalayim, so we simply can't do it today. Because we're all Tomei and the food is going to be Tomei. You're not supposed to eat Maaseh Sheni if the Maaseh Sheni is Tomei and there's no Mizbeach Banui, so it's out of the question. The Ramban is listing, it should have been a mitzvah, even though we can't fulfill the mitzvahs today. It's supposed to be listed in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Then the Ramban is going, he has three different mitzvahs that have to do with eating. The first one he talks about eating Maaseh Sheni and Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim. Second is eating Truma in a state of Tahara. Should not eat Truma in a state of Tahara. The third is Peres Shviyas, that all the Peres that grow in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year have the special status of Kedusha's Peres Shviyas. So what is the special deal on Peres Shviyas? The Pasuk has one phrase, Vayso Shabbos Oretz Lachem Lo'ochlo. He's supposed to eat it. So the Ramban says it's a mitzvah to eat Peres Shviyas. Some Achrayim want to say that you say a bracha also. Let's say you have an apple that grew during the Shnas HaShmita. So as you're about to eat it, so you say first, what do you do on Pesach night? First you say, Amitzi Lechem and Haaretz. Then you say, Asher Kedushan B'Mitzvah Yisav Tzivanu, Al Achilas Matzah. You say, Birchus HaNenin. Then you say, Birchus HaMitzvah. So the same is true by Truma. The Ramban writes in the last page in Hilchas Trumas, if you're about to eat Truma, so you say Bar Pri Adama, Bar Pri Agafen, Bar Minim Zainis, whatever. Then you say Baruch HaShem Kedushan, B'Kedushan Sushal Aaron, B'Tzivon of Al-Achilas Truma. So some say the same about Peres Shviyas. As you're about to eat an apple that grew in Eretz Yisrael, in the Shnas HaShemitah, you have to say first Bar Pri Hoitz, then you say HaShem Kedushan, B'Mitzvah Yisav, B'Tzivon of Al-Achilas, Peres Shviyas. That's what the Ramban says, that eating Peres Shviyas is a mitzvah. It should be counted as a mitzvah in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. The Megillah Sester comes to defend the Rambam. He says, no, the Rambam held that there is no such mitzvah. We learn out from this pasuk, Vayso Shabbos Oretz Lachem Le'ochlo, Lo'ochlo V'lo Le'hefsid. You're not allowed to take perishis and throw it out in the garbage. Anybody ever spend a Shemitah year here? You're too young. Probably never spent a Shemitah year in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say, what do you do if you're eating supper and you have something left over? And you don't want to eat it. You have to eat everything that's on the plate. You don't want to eat the rest. So you're going to put it away in the refrigerator, eat it tomorrow. Over here in the camp, they're going to put it away in the refrigerator. You have 150 people, they're going to put away everybody's leftovers in the refrigerator. Everybody's going to have his own plate. It's impossible. So they're going to throw it out in the garbage. You're not going to eat it. There's no bal tashchis on it. What are you going to do with it? He doesn't want to stuff himself. He doesn't want to eat extra. He doesn't want to eat more than he's hungry for. So it's a bal tashchis on his body if he's going to eat the food that he doesn't want to eat. So there's no bal tashchis on the food if you're not going to eat it anyway. Shnas hashmita, the din is you're not allowed to throw out anything that's left over. You have to save it. The din doesn't require that you should eat it tomorrow, but you're not allowed to throw it out. So you save. So there's a shmita bag. You save a plastic bag. And you save all the leftovers of the fruits and the vegetables of the shnas hashmita that you didn't finish eating the day before. You have to save it till it becomes rotten, till it becomes spoiled, till it's nifsa machila. Once it's nifsa machila sodom, then there's no longer a din lochem liyochla v'lo lehefsid. There's no longer prohibition that you're not allowed to waste it. So the Megillah Sester comes to defend the Rambam, why the Rambam didn't include this mitzvah of eating perishviyas in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. He says, the Rambam holds this, there is no such mitzvah. He claims, there is no mitzvah to eat perishviyas. It just means it's Yisurim. You're not allowed to waste the perishviyas. You're not allowed to use it to bring a korban mincha, let's say wheat that grew during Shnas HaShmita. You make flour from it, and you make cake and cookies and bread. But you're not allowed to use that flour to bring a mincha on the Mizbeach, because you're going to burn part of the mincha. You do a kmitzah, and you burn the kmitzah on the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to burn perishviyas. Even though it's a mitzvah to burn the mincha, but you're not allowed to burn perishviyas. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to bring a carbon mincha with it. So the Megillah Esther says the reason why the Rambam didn't count this mitzvah, it really isn't a mitzvah to eat perishviyas. It means that there are isurim liyachla v'lo l'schori, you're not allowed to do big business with the perishviyas. But it's not a mitzvah, saseh. It's what he's supposed to do with the kedushas perishviyas. So he says the Rambam holds it doesn't, it shouldn't be. The Rambam counted the mitzvah of observing Shemitah. So included in the mitzvah of observing Shemitah, this is one of the details. This is one of the protim of the mitzvah to observe Shemitah, that the peris that grow should be treated with kedusha and with respect. The very famous mitzvah is mitzvah dalet. That's the very long one. And that's the very famous one. The Ramban says that the Rambam failed to count the mitzvah from this, etc., from Parshas Naseh. Which mitzvah is that? The Horashtam Sa'oretz, the Yishavtam Bo. And the Ramban writes, we should conquer Eretz, so we should put together an army. And he says it applies in all the generations. It didn't only apply in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the days of Yeshua ben Nun. V'al tishtabesh v'tomer. Don't make a mistake and say, ki ha-mitzvah zos only applied in Mechem and Zayin Amimim in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. He says, no, it's in every generation. You have an obligation to put together an army, if it's feasible, if it's possible, to conquer Eretz Yisrael, to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And that we should all move to Eretz Yisrael. We shouldn't. You shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael in the hands of other people. It's not enough that we live in Eretz Yisrael. We should have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. It's not enough we have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. We should all live in Eretz Yisrael. See, all the Jews in America are big Zionists. We support the Medina, but we don't live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says both aspects are included in this mitzvah. It says in Parshas Maaseh, "V'harashtem es ha'oretz v'yishavtem bo." V'harashtem means you should conquer the whole land, chase out the Zionists, whichever Arabs happen to live there, you should chase them out, and we should all move in. So he times the Rambam didn't include this mitzvah in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. The Rambam should have included this mitzvah. So which mitzvah is it that the Rambam didn't include? So the Megillah Esther understood that mitzvah dalid, which the Ramban is adding on, is the mitzvah of establishing a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, establishing a Medina. Truth of the matter is that that mitzvah, the Rambam did count. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs, as well as in the Mishnah Torah, writes a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Zabchof and Abbas, Gimel Mitzvahs, Nitztava Yisrael, Lichnisosim La'oris. The Jewish people became obligated to observe three mitzvahs in a specific order when they all entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua Benun. The first mitzvah is Lahamed Lahamelach, to establish a Jewish government in all of Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, Lahachriz Arishal Amalek, to wipe out the nation of Amalek. And third, in this order, is Livnas Lahem Beis Abchira, to build the Beis Amigdash. You're supposed to go in that order. So the first mitzvah is Lahamed Lahamelach, to establish a Jewish government in all of Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam did include that mitzvah. So what is the Ramban arguing about? What is the Ramban's taina that the Rambam forgot to count the mitzvah? So the Pashtus says the Ramban is not arguing on Hakomas HaMedina, that the Rambam also includes to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz. So the Ramban is arguing the Rambam should have counted as an independent mitzvah, that we all have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Not just we should live in America and support the Medina and buy bonds and build yeshivas and buy homes to visit the Yom Tovim in Eretz. No, we have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Rambam is adding on. And that's what the Ramban ends off. Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs. He says, the Medrash says, living in Eretz Yisrael is as important as all of the other 612 mitzvahs. Living in Eretz Yisrael is one of the 613 mitzvahs. And Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, to live in Eretz Yisrael, Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs. It's equal importance to all of the other 612 mitzvahs. And the Ramban quotes a famous story. He's the one who made it famous. The Sifrei tells that on occasion the Tanoim had to leave Eretz Yisrael. Most of the Tanoim lived in Eretz Yisrael. Some of them lived in Bavel, but most of the Tanoim lived in Eretz Yisrael. So on one occasion, every so often they had to go to Rome to negotiate something with the Roman government. The Gemara tells different stories, the Mishnais, and the Gemara tells different stories when the Tanoim had to go to Rome. So here, the Sifrei tells a story, which the Ramban quotes here, and he made it famous. Rabbi Yudah ben Beseira, Masi ben Chosh, lived in Rome. Rechanani ben Achir, Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Nosson, four Tanoim had to leave Eretz Yisrael. And then when they came to the border, and they had to leave, they started to cry. They ripped their begodim. We're leaving Eretz Yisrael, what a terrible thing. And they recited the Pasuk, terrible, the Yerishta Moshe v'Yishavtem Bo. We should all stay in Eretz Yisrael. We shouldn't be leaving Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ramban is the one who made this famous. So again, the simple reading of the Ramban is he's adding on mitzvah dalid sheshochach harav, the mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot. The Ramban is very respectful to the Rambam. We always call him harav. The Ramban in his commentary chumash, even when he disagrees with the Rambam, he disagrees a lot with the Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim. He writes very respectfully. Very respectfully. It was during the lifetime of the Ramban that they made a cherem on the Rambam. Some of the other Rishonim, who clearly were not as great as the Rambam, they didn't like what the Rambam said. They didn't like the fact that the Rambam studied philosophy, and people were studying Mor Nebuchim, and they were falling in. They were reading Greek philosophy and other improper philosophy. So they made a cherem, a few Balei HaTosfos made a cherem against reading the Rambam. So the Ramban was very not happy with this cherem. The Ramban, when they wanted to get him involved, he felt that that was extremely disrespectful. I can make a cherem on reading the Rambam. Rambam was such a great good. The Ramban was a young man. Ramban, I think, was around 10 years old when the Rambam passed away. And it was after that they started making all the haramim against reading the Rambam. So he was very upset. The Rashba also. The Rashba was a Talmud of the Ramban. So he was also not so keen about. He had no interest in philosophy at all, the Rashba, but he didn't think that you should make a cherem on the Rambam. But they schlepped him into the machlokes, so he had toned down the cherem a little bit. It was a big. They had rabbanim from different countries were corresponding with each other. The Rush lived in Germany at the time, and the Meiri lived in Perpignan. That's in Provence. Provence is a section that's in between Spain and France. They were always fighting. Spain and France were always going to war about that section, whether it belongs to Spain or it belongs to France. So the Meiri lived in Perpignan. That's a city in Provence. This, just a month ago, I was in Barcelona, visiting, touring, And we met the rabbi. There's a rabbi in Barcelona who served in the rabbinate for 30 years in Barpignon. He has the distinction of being the rabbi in the city where the Meiri lived. So the Meiri was corresponding by mail. He was sending letters from Provence, from Perpignan, and the Rambam was writing, and the Rashba was writing, and the Rosh was writing, and the Meiri, everybody, and the other Rishonim, Balei HaTosfos, they were all involved with this whole tumult about the Cherem against the Sifri HaRambam. Anyway, over here, getting back again. So the simple reading of the Ramban is, he's not adding on a mitzvah to establish a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. That the Rambam also wrote. The mitzvah l'hamid l'hamelech, that there should be a Jewish government controlling all of Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah that the Rambam failed to mention is the mitzvah we should live in Eretz Yisrael. But that's why it doesn't make sense what the Megillas Esther says. Megillas Esther always comes to defend the Rambam. Why didn't he count the mitzvah that the Ramban says he should have counted? So he says, the Rambam has a rule, you only include mitzvahs which are noeg l'doros. The mitzvah which is only harashah doesn't belong in the sefer mitzvah. So what's an example? So the Rambam gives an example. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, Harei mismatcha al hayom uv kohehu. He should pick up the stick. Moshe Rabbeinu would walk with a cane. Well, walking cane. He didn't limp. He didn't need it to walk on, but that's like... that was considered the kavodik. Wealthy people. Or Chassidish Rebbes like to walk with a cane. So Moshe Rabbeinu is to go with a cane. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands him, Harei mismatcha al hayom uv kohehu. He should hold up, he should wave his magic wand over Yam Suf, and Yam Suf will split. So the Rambam says, I'm not going to include that. Harei mismatcha al hayom uv kohehu. I'm not going to include it in the Sefer HaMitzvah. That was once in the history of the world. There was such an obligation. Or an Erev Pesach of Yitzias Mitzrayim. All the Jews were obligated to knock on the next door neighbor's doors to ask for matanis from the non-Jews, so that when they leave Mitzrayim, it'll be v'achrei chen yetzo b'ruchush gadol. The promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu will be fulfilled. So the Rambam says he's not going to include that, to knock on the next door neighbor's doors to ask for matanis. Not going to include that in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, because that was only once in the history of the world. That was once on that one Erev Pesach of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's not a mitzvah the Dervis. So the Megillas Esther writes over here similarly. This mitzvah of the mitzvah to have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael and to live in Eretz Yisrael, this is only Bizman She Beis HaMikdash HaYikar. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there's no mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael against the wishes of the nations of the world. And he quotes, he's the first one, Megillas Esther, lived in the 1600s, I think. He was the first one to quote this Gemara in the end of Ksubis. The Gemara in the end of Ksubis talks about the Shalosh Shvuos. We have a Pasuk that appears in Shir Hashirim three times, practically the exact same Pasuk. Ishbati Eschem Menos Yerushalayim Im Te'iru Vim Te'iru Es Ha'avo Ad She'Techpots. A difficult Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the Jewish people of Menos Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got the Jewish people to take three Shavuos. What are the three Shavuos? So the Gemara talks, Gimel Shavuos Hishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got the Jewish people to take three Shavuos. So one of the three Shavuos is that we won't pressure the nations of the world to establish a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael. And days of Yeshua ben Nun, of course they pressured them. They went to war and they killed them. Whoever didn't want to let the Jews take over, Yeshua ben Nun was commanded to go to war and to Hachrim Tachrimeh. And to force the issue to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So the Megillah Esther quotes this Gemara from the end of Maseches Ksubis, where it says, we're not supposed to force the issue. In 1947, the Jewish organizations did force the issue. They were killing British, and they were bombing railroads, and they were bombing bridges. And they forced the British to get out of Eretz Yisrael because the British had promised in 1917, the Balfour Declaration. So Lord Balfour was in the British Parliament, and he said he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. That's how he got the Jewish vote at that time. So since he promised to give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, so it's assumed that there was no violation of the Shavuot. There are 45 different reasons why the Shavuot no longer applies Bizman Hazeh. But we assume it doesn't apply. There's no prohibition. So this Megillah Esther, the Megillah Esther assumes that the mitzvah that the Ramban is adding on is the mitzvah of establishing a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And since that mitzvah to establish a Jewish government doesn't apply after the Churban HaBayis, because HaKadosh Baruch had the Jewish people take a shvuah that we're not going to force the issue, so therefore it's considered a mitzvah shein in the Haggis Ladaris. It's only a Hayroah Shah. This is very difficult. First of all, that's not what the Ramban meant. The Ramban didn't mean to add the mitzvah of Hakomas HaMedina. The Rambam already included that mitzvah. The Rambam included Lahamed Lahamelech, is to establish a Jewish government in all of Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah that the Ramban claims that the Rambam forgot to mention, is the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that to live in Eretz Yisrael applies even after the Churban HaBayis. And then the Avdei Nezer has a long tshuva where he disagrees with everything the Megillah says. He says, the Rambam includes Hakrovas HaKarbonis in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. But you don't have Hakrovas HaKarbonis Bizman HaZer. You only have Hakrovas HaKarbonis Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayo. So why don't you consider that a Hirashah? It's not a mitzvah Hanuhegis Lederis. So the answer is no. In order to bring Karbonis, you have to have a Beis HaMikdash. But that's a mitzvah throughout all the future generations. Whenever you have a Beis HaMikdash, you have an obligation to bring Karbonis. That's not a Hirashah. Hirashah means Moshe Rabbeinu's commanded, Harei Mismatchal HaYam of Kohel, he should stretch out his cane over Yam Suf and cause the waters to split. Or everyone is commanded to knock on the next neighbor's doors, Erev Pesach of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and ask for Matanas. That was once in the history of the world. Or the mitzvah not to leave over the month till the morning. That's not included in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. That was only for the duration of the 40 years. When Bnei Yisrael were traveling in the Midbar, so the month came down. So they were told, as a Hirashah, they're not allowed to leave over the month. Even if there would be month today, you'd be allowed to leave it over. It happens that there is no month. But even if there would be month, there wouldn't be a prohibition to leave it over. That was only Hirashah. But to say that a mitzvah that's connected with the Beis HaMikdash, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah doesn't apply. So that's called a Hirashah. That's not a Hirashah. The Rambam includes all the mitzvahs of Karbonis. Even though the Rambam knows that Bizmanas are not bringing any Karbonis. In principle, it's a mitzvah hanahegis l'doris. The Rambam says the obligation to be mafresh trumas and maisis bizman hazeh is only mid the rabbanon, and we don't have an obligation min haTorah to observe shemitah. Shemitah bizman hazeh is only mid the rabbanon. So you're going to say the shemitah doesn't belong in the minyan mitzvahs? It's not true. Shemitah and yovel and trumas and maisis and karbanos, these are all mitzvahs that are noig l'doris. If you have certain conditions met, we don't have all the conditions met today. So that's why the mitzvahs, these mitzvahs don't apply to Bizmanazah. But that's not called the Hirashah. So that's what the Avnei Nezer is very upset about this Megillah Sester. He says that it doesn't make any sense, and he missed the whole point. He said the main thrust of the argument of the Ramban was the Rambam should have included a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, not the mitzvah of establishing a government. Establishing a government, the Rambam did count. Mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So Taka, why didn't the Rambam count that mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So good to Kasha. So there are various suggestions. There are many svarim written on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. They're all very rich. They all have very fascinating ideas about the Shmiras HaMitzvahs. So some of the Achreinim suggest that the reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is because the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is not an independent mitzvah. It enhances each one of the other 613 mitzvahs. The main place the kiyum kol mitzvahs kulam is in Eretz Yisrael. So when you put on tefillah in Eretz Yisrael, you're enhancing the mitzvah of tefillah. When you observe Shabbos and Kashrus in Eretz Yisrael, it's a hider, it's a prat within the mitzvah of Shabbos, and it's a hider and a prat within the mitzvah of Kashrus. The observance of all the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael is more meaningful, more significant. So it's a mitzvah klolis. That's why the Rambam didn't count it. Avnei Nezer was a super genius. He was a Chassidish Rebbe, and he died around 1910 or so. He was a super genius. All of his tshuvas are charifas. He was a Polish. Polish, they're always very sharp. He was a genius in his sharpness. So he has a klal. He quotes from earlier svarim. He has a klal which explains quite a few things in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Whenever you have two mitzvahs, one leads up to the other. So it does make sense to count them as two mitzvahs. One mitzvah leads up to the other. It's the same. So he gives a few examples, and then he says over here, we have a mitzvah, Achreim Tachrimim. We should wipe out Zainumas who live in Eretz Yisrael. So imagine, what should we do? Yeshua Ben Nun has an army, and you should wipe out the Zainumas, and then we should move back to Borough Park. We should move back to Muncie. So what did we accomplish by wiping out the Zainumas? Obviously, Hachrem Tachremim, wipe out the Zainumas, and we should move into Eretz Yisrael. We should chase them out, if need be, kill them, and see to it that they leave Eretz Yisrael, and then we should move into Eretz Yisrael. But to wipe out the Zainumas, we shouldn't move into Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't make any sense. So since you have two mitzvahs and one mitzvah is leading up to the other one, so he thinks that's why the Rambam didn't count it as a separate mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam also agrees. Of course, there's a mitzvah, even b'zman hazeh, throughout all the generations, to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam, the mitzvah to establish a Medina, that the Rambam did count. That's what a lot of people misunderstood. They thought as if that was the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. Is there a mitzvah to establish a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael? Everybody agrees to that. The mitzvah that the Rambam didn't count is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Pashto says the Rambam also agrees that that's a mitzvah, min haTorah, and he has reasons why it doesn't deserve to be counted separately. Okay, we'll stop here. We finished the first four mitzvahs in the listing of the Ramban, mitzvah sheshochach osam harav.